Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're continuing to make our way through a set of just very powerful, life-transforming, beautiful readings that the church gives us at Mass this week, making our way through the Gospel of John, the section of the Last Supper and Jesus downloading to the apostles, you might say, the central truth that he's come to live in himself and to draw us into. And that is living in the love of the Father and the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit. We're made for love. We're made by love. It's funny, we talk about love constantly in human life and culture and the rest of it. We're all chasing after and hoping we can find the great love on earth that will satisfy us and make us happy. That longing for love that gets beautifully expressed in friendships and in marriage and in family life and other places and in other ways, it is a dimension of the great love with which we are called to enter into. The first priority of God and Jesus reminds us, Jesus underlines what was revealed, you know, in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and chapter 30 and other places where Moses is given the commandments, you know, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. This is the greatest thing of all, Jesus says to us. And I think it's important for us to internalize Jesus' words so that we think what Jesus thinks is great or the greatest thing is what we think is the greatest thing. That is, we can begin to conform our hearts and minds to Jesus so that we learn how to value things properly. We still are attached to idols in the world. We love things that are lower than ourselves. We love things that can't last. We love things that don't satisfy us. Now, it's not a problem to love things if we love them in right order. And what Jesus is making clear for us is that, look, the nature of who you are as a human being, I know you and I understand you. My Father made you. I was there. You know, you began in the heart of my Father. I know the kind of being you are, and I know what will make you happy and how you were designed personally, individually by my Father to be able to come together in a family with us and to live in our love, in the love of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which is the source of all life, of all giving. I mean, God doesn't need us. God's not jealous in the sense of, you know, why don't you love me? You know, he's completely full and fulfilled. And it's hard to use words that describe God's fullness and his absolute contentment and love and the rest of it, in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And all that is, all life, all being, all goodness, everything that's beautiful, everything that's true, all of it flows from the love between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Everything that's been created, which means you and me. And so Jesus has come to draw back the veil, to let us see into the truth of who God is and how we're meant to be an image of God, as being icons of God. We have a capacity fallen now, apart from God's grace. We don't have a capacity to rise to understand who God is and to respond to him fully. But God comes to us while we were yet sinners, while we were distant and separated from God. Love comes to us in the person of Jesus concretely. And he opens up the heavens. He opens up God and the reality of God to us in a new way. And he gives us power and his own spirit to make it possible for us now to begin to rise to our destiny. Christ is lifting us through the gift of the Spirit and through his teaching and life and his power. He's raising us to eternal life, and that is life in God. And what did he say? Eternal life is this: to know the Father and Jesus Christ, his Son, whom he has sent. And what they mean by know is experiential knowledge of God. And what he means is that we're called to live in his love. Jesus will use the word here in today's readings or next tomorrow's readings from John chapter 15. He calls us to abide in him. So this is the most important thing we can know in walking out our life in Christ, in the faith, and understanding how we can grow. Where's the life source? How do we live from God? How do we live in God? How do we come into, in this world even, that union with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as the foundation of our lives? both individually, but then corporately together. You know, we're talking so much in the church about the difficult situation we're facing right now, the decline of participation in the church, the sins of the church that are being revealed. There's a lot of discouragement. And we'd say we have to have a new evangelization. We have to go and proclaim the gospel. And I love the idea of proclaiming the gospel, right? But what's at the heart of everything is we need to get to this point right here, what we're talking about today, where baptized people are living and abiding in the love of God. And they're growing, we're growing with Jesus. Jesus is growing his life in us. You know, we're given life, his life in baptism. But he gives us the Holy Spirit, he said, to give us counsel, to advocate for us, to lead us to all truth. And the Spirit of God is dwelling in us, and we're in conversation with God. We are meant to live life walking with Jesus, to walk by the Spirit, St. Paul said. And he'll help his life grow in us as we, you know, he'll subdue sin in us. But you know, every one of us knows we've got a fallen nature. We've got drives and attitudes and mindsets and willfulness that resist God. And we make a lot of decisions that lead us into things that are not helpful for us and really affect our spirit and our capacity to see and grasp who we are in Christ and how we're meant to live. But we've been given everything we need in the gift of the Holy Spirit, in the teaching of Jesus, in the Scripture, in the life of the church, in the sacraments, all that we're given to strengthen us to live as a communion of men and women who know that we've been called into relationship with God, and we're all learning to do the same thing. We're all learning how to abide in God's love. This is the most important thing, but it's something we hardly ever talk about. This ought to be, for believers, this ought to be part of our conversation really on a daily basis. How is your abiding in Christ going? Like, what is God doing in you? What's the Lord saying to you? What are you learning? How are you growing? What is he pointing out to you that's an obstacle to it? How can we help each other abide in Christ? How are we forming and shaping our personal lives, our marriages, our family life, the domestic church, our parishes and dioceses, our networks, our neighborhoods? How are we forming? How are we living in a way that we're keeping first things first? That we're aspiring together to do the great thing that Jesus calls the greatest, because we want to be great. We're made for greatness. This is what greatness is, friends. Greatness is not just simply achieving goals on earth, whatever goals we set up for ourselves, whether it's Super Bowls or you know, certain amount of income or goals of writing things. And I mean, there's plenty of secondary goals on earth that are fine to do, but it's crazy to live this life pursuing all those secondary and tertiary goals and not paying much attention to what real greatness is. We pursue these things because the world tells us these other things. The world tells us they're great. And we get patted on the back. We get rewarded. We get fame. We get honor. We get money, things like this. And we live as if these are really the great things. And then we see that some people have them. A lot of people don't have them. And then there's this jealousy or envy or sadness that people have in their hearts, and they evaluate their life on the basis of these things. Wow, I guess I'm a nobody. You know, I guess I'll never do anything great. That's all a deception from the devil. It's a lie. Every human being can achieve and live in true greatness, because every human being has been called to greatness, right? To live in Christ, to abide in him. This is what the great one calls great. If we internalize it and we live it and live it together as brothers and sisters, we will be successful. We will be great. But if we miss this, no matter what else we have on earth, we failed. We're failures. We never aspire. We never rise to our own dignity, to the destiny to which we're called. So we have to start, you know, really talking about what matters most. So Jesus is doing it here with the apostles in today's reading, John chapter 15. Jesus said to his disciples, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. The Father's growing these vines, and the vine that he planted, the root that he planted is Jesus. And that's the kingdom, that's God's life growing on earth. And then everything else that's going to last for eternal life is what grows out of the vine, which is the person of Jesus himself. He said, He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit. So Jesus is teaching us something really important. The Father expects us to bear fruit. Who bears fruit? The one who abides in the vine. You can be simple. You can be uneducated. You can be the most highly educated. And then everything in between. This you can, in Christ and in His grace, this goal, this command of God to bear fruit can happen in your life. And you can become great in the eyes of God. Nothing on earth can stop this from happening, except our unwillingness to do it, to surrender to Christ, to belong to Him. So He takes away these branches that don't bear fruit. And everyone that does obey the Lord, walk in Him, abide in Him, He prunes. So He does two things. God takes away dead branches, and He prunes those who are moving toward the Lord. What does the pruning process do? We all know that, especially all you folks who are really great at gardens and planting and things of that sort. He prunes back the branches, right, at the end of the year. The branches are pruned back. Why? And sometimes pruned back, just, you know, it's hard to believe. It's like, are you killing the tree? People prune back, and then boom, what happens? It's pruned so that more growing can happen. More effective, more fruitful growing can happen. So the Father is watching the growth of the vine, and He wants with His Son to do the pruning so we can all bear more and greater fruit, so we can glorify Him, so we can share in His glory ourselves, so we can be a part of this great thing, this kingdom building that God is doing. It's the most exciting adventure possible. He goes on, you are already pruned because of the word that I spoke to you. One of the reasons why the church is overgrown with weeds and the trees. We used to have an apple tree that I never paid attention to in my yard. And oh man, that thing just got ugly. And what grew out of it, and it just was not a healthy tree because I didn't attend to it. Healthy things get pruned back so they can become even healthier and grow and produce more. And this is the kingdom that is the vine of Jesus. And the Father wants the kingdom to continue to grow. And for us, we're in the kingdom to bear fruit. And so how does it get pruned back? By God's word. One of the reasons why the church is not bearing fruit very much, I mean, it continues to, obviously, but in our country and other places, why the vine is dying in places like Europe. It's never going to completely die, but lots of branches are being cut off by God. God the Father. Why? Because He's looking, and there's all kinds of baptized people who were engrafted into that vine, who maybe for a time in their life were abiding in Jesus and walking in the commandments and loving God first and then loving neighbor. But at a certain point, they just walked away from, quote unquote, the God thing. They don't need God anymore. Drifting with the world. Well, they're no longer abiding in Christ. So what the Father says is, you're no good. You got to cut it off. And what does He say? He'll say down later, the branch is cut off and it's thrown into the fire. He's talking about the final judgment, actually. That's part of what He's talking about here. God wants to prune so we can bear fruit. God's in our corner. God wants the vine to flourish. He wants His Son to be glorified. He wants people to be saved and come to the knowledge of Him. And more people bring brought into the fellowship between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The question is, do we want it? Do we want it? Friends, I hope you can join in tomorrow. We're going to continue to talk about this amazing truth about our call in Christ. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Peter Burak's new booklet, The Game Changer, in which he talks to us very clearly about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, especially to empower us to engage the mission of the church. That's a calling that's there for all the baptized. If you'd like this free booklet, you could call us at 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to our past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.